Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Reality.
Yeah.
Start a class tomorrow, which is like, sucks, man, you know? I mean, I'm like trying to deal with that, but obviously all I can focus on and think about is the total unveiling of our police state in front of our eyes in real time.
I know. It's very strange what's going on. I was like, obviously, if anybody in the chat shows up throughout, has any questions they want to ask, we're happy to address things. If you have anything you want to talk about, you know, mental health related, whatever. But, you know, it's been a long... I see some other, like... I'm going to be just so snarky and shitty all day today, probably. But, I see some other, like, mental health people, like, posters or, you know, people who, like, they do... Like, that's their brand or whatever. And I don't know. Obviously, I've never been the strongest at, like, my good bad brain being, like, I'm only going to do mental health stuff, whatever. But, like... And they're just posting, like, tips about taking care of your brain. And it's, like, how I don't know. There's one thought that I've been having a lot about, like, how I've been taught through the general, like, liberal education system and American sort of system of capitalism, how they teach versus, like, this sort of thing that's been happening over the last couple of years, but especially accelerating this last few months and especially accelerating this last week is, like, really... I'll just turn this light on because it's so dark here. Is like really like getting a more like material understanding of the world. And like basically in this, that liberal education system thing I was talking about is like, I feel like we're kind of taught to think like history is over. Everything's just so atomized. You're an individual. You can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want as long as you do it. Like you're just this little speck among a lot of other specks. Like there's no connectivity of cause and effect, of like systems, of like why things are the way they are. They just kind of happened that way. It just kind of happened that way, that the majority of the poor people live there and compared to here, and there's a highway that goes through the city, like that kind of stuff, you know? And we really like tend to atomize out like everything that way. Even like when we think about our like health and stuff, there's nothing like holistic about it. And I see these other like people who do mental health things, some things that I follow, you know, for different stuff that I think is helpful. But like their brand is to be like mental health content creators, and like they're barely talking about politics, like, or what's, or they're being like, it's a crazy world out there right now. You know what I mean?
Oh God, and I fucking can't handle that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, dude, how can you pretend like... Like, that's another thing. Like, it was a common joke where your kids, like, no things you don't talk about at the dinner table are politics and sex. Like, that kind of a thing. It's, like, this siloing off and pretending, like, or, like, saying, like, oh, we have different politics. Don't let politics tear you apart. I'm sorry, dude. Politics is about, like, who you think is a person or not, what you think people deserve or not, like, material realities of life. And the idea that you would just be, like, oh, I'm just, you know what? I don't do politics. I don't do fucking politics. Everyone loves to like talk about privilege, but like
moral, it's abject moral cowardice to preserve your brand revenue stream. It's fucking pathetic.
Well, for sure with that.
You should unfollow and mute all those people. It's you know, you don't get to make a living online. If you fuck up that badly, people should let you know about it.
Well, I also feel like
pathetic and ridiculous.
If you're a mental health person, right, and you're like, you give mental health tips about self-care and shit like that, like, you're just bad at mental health if you don't, like, address the elephant in the room that's, like, maybe part of the reason you feel bad and anxious is because your entire society is predicated on this, like, corrupt, violent, racist state that you benefit from or you don't benefit from. You know what I mean?
I just, but there's so much, there's just, and it's a, there's so many contributing factors that get in the way of people accepting reality, you know? And
yeah.
I think what it boils down to is just the, is the fear of relinquishing these deeply held, but really unexamined feelings about your identity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just as an example, I was on Facebook, which is a toxic platform I never go on, but I just figured, you know, maybe there are probably some fucking people on there that, like, just don't get media anywhere else. So I just posted, like, supercut after supercut of all the police violence that we're seeing now. And, like, I just encountered the page with someone who I knew from a while ago who has a spouse who is a police officer. You know, so it's like Thin Blue Line, all this shit is on there. I get it. Her husband's a cop. She's, you know, I get that. On that page, without irony, are people saying, like, I hope he goes out there and cracks some skulls tonight. It's like, how is it that you're able to say that without understanding the irony of that statement?
Right.
You know, it's just beyond me. So I think some people aren't able to have hard conversations where they look and think, God, you know what? I'm benefiting from this system. I'm embedded in this system. And even if I think of myself as a good person, being embedded in this system causes me to be part of practices that are not good. Yeah, racist and violent.
100%. And it's
amazing. I hate to do this. I fucking hate to do this. I really do. Like, I know it's a trope at this point, but I bet there were some Nazis who went home and were sweet to their families. But you know what? They were part of the Nazi system, which is an evil system. I'm not equating police violence with the Nazi ideology. I'm not doing that. They're not the same. But by looking at extremes, we can kind of walk back to the middle sometimes. So it just is indicator that if you are part of a racist, violent system, it's impossible to maintain your objectivity and not be tainted by that. It's just not possible.
Yeah. Someone rogue in the chat said there was a sign at the protest yesterday that said F the police, even your dad. No, but that's true. It's weird because it's like, I mean,
look, let me just say one, sorry, yeah, I please interrupt and say one thing. I know somebody whose father was a Boston police officer who transitioned, okay, from male to female. Mm-hmm. So this was a police officer who was a Boston, you know, hardcore, old school Boston police officer who was trans. So think about that person's experience, like what they had to go through. Does that mean they aren't implicated in this trajectory of violence that started with slave patrols and controlling the bodies of working class people who immigrated? No, they're still implicated. Even though there's complexity, they're still implicated. So just let go of this black and white thing. They're still implicated.
Yeah, I, dude, this past fucking week, I mean, there's no way to not talk about this. I don't know what I'm gonna do with my life. Like, I feel like everything has to change. Like, this, I don't know if I gotta change the name of my good, the nature of the content. I don't know. I'm just like, I feel like I've taken the red pill. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm fucking seeing the Matrix in this way. Because, okay, here's what I was going to say. Is, like, first of all, pertinent to your thing about the Nazi thing, is, like, I've talked about this in the pod before because I found this out and, like, did a whole, like, brain breather about it. I have Nazis in my family, okay? Like, my grandma's on my mom's side, she died. She was murdered when my mom was 12. So I never knew her or anything like that, and they never caught the killers. And speaking of the police thing, by the way, because I was having this conversation with my mom. My mom still wants to, like, mom's a wonderful woman. Like, she worked with, she works with, like, a violence, because her mom was murdered, she was, like, a stand-in. Okay, I'm so roundabout. There's this GRIP program, Guiding Rage into Power, at San Quentin, where, like, it's with people who are in there for life, and it's, like, a violence rehabilitation program. And you're only eligible if you are a lifer. But that also, it has an amazing rate of, like, success. People get out after it, like, sometimes, you know, they get paroled, and there's, like, 0% recidivism if they've gone through this program. It's really amazing. And part of the thing is eventually they speak to the people who are the families that they victimized, like of the people they've, you know, the violence they committed. And as like lead up to that, they'll have stand-ins who are like people who are also victims of violence, but other ones. And that, you know, like, and my mom was someone who was teaching yoga at San Quentin periodically and then like got pulled into this other program they met because they found out that her mom had been murdered. And so she was like part of this. So she's wonderful. She's about like rehabilitation of all kinds of people, you know, and she's very much, I think, uncomfortable as I was for a long time with this sort of like ACAB attitude, with this sort of like these, you know, they're people and that kind of a thing. But for me, I'm like, yeah, I get that. So part of this family history that I ended up finding out was her mother's whatever, somewhere back in the line. But like, I think it's her dad or her grandpa was fucking straight up a Nazi, you know, like officer or whatever from some kind of wealthy family that had wineries. And his mother-in-law was definitely not, was like fairly anti-fascist, I guess. She was like also like a very like liberal progressive woman in her town, like first one to drive a car, first one to like smoke cigars and went to college, all this stuff, and would hang out with all the intelligentsia. So apparently she was like hiding people from the Nazis like in the house. And I guess like he came, they all like lived in the same big house. And so speaking of like what kind of people are Nazis when they come home, you know, things like that, which, you know, 40% of cops abuse their families, like are committed domestic violence, that we know of, that's reported, exactly. And you know, that this fucking Nazi came home and like from the front or whatever being like cycled back and found out that there were people being hit in the house and turned in his mother-in-law. Okay, like turned her in, she goes to a camp, the war ended and she survived in the camp, she came home and he survived, they were all just living in the house again together. This guy and his mother-in-law who he turned in post-war Germany. And you're just like, he ended up drinking himself to death, basically. He basically drank himself into driving his car off road and crashing. And which, like, I wonder why. I wonder why you'd be so fucking miserable. I wonder why. But, like, anyway, speaking of, like, these things, it's like, yes, that's the point. Again, the atomization of things. Like, as if the things that we are part of with our movements or their words, like don't matter. Like, it, like as if all that matters is who you feel like inside. And that's absolute bullshit. And it's like, I don't understand if there are, cause I believe I've met cops who like want to help people who think that's like what they want to do. And if those cops are real, then you and the rest of the fucking people like you have to quit and say, yo, we are the fucking good apples. And this is fucked. We need to tear the system down and start over. We don't like it either. Like, but they're not doing that. So
here's the thing. It's not about individual behavior. And this is where people get so
right.
Have such a problem. It is not about individual behavior. It is about a culture of violence perpetuated by the institution. That's what it's about.
Right.
It's not about good or bad apples. It's about a culture of violence and impunity.
Right.
So just stop talking about that. Like, stop it. Stop talking about your dad and your grandpa who are good people. It doesn't matter at all. No one cares. Right. It doesn't matter. It's about a demonstrable, evidence-based culture of violence and impunity. It needs to change.
Yeah. And also,
it's not, this is where people, like, when we're making policy, when we're thinking about policy, it's not about you personally. Somebody who hurt my family, I would personally want them to get the death penalty. I don't believe in the death penalty as an institution,
right,
because it's impossible to carry out in, yes, a way that's not corrupted by injustice and racism. So me personally, Nick, if someone, like, God forbid, hurt my mother, I would want them personally to be executed, personally. I'm not an advocate for that policy, right, because my personal views and policy views are different things. You have to be regulated enough to separate those things. Otherwise, just shut the fuck up and get out of the conversation, because you're not helping.
Literally, that's like reactionary. That's the word. Like, how reactionary are... That's like the word for anti-progression is like... You're basing everything off of your instinctive, stupid reactions. I gotta say, it's like the culture of violence, too, is also poorly trained violence. And like, I am obviously an advocate for being trained in how violence works, because I think being good at violence and confident in it gives you command over your fear response, and also, or at least familiarity, and prevents, like, I watch these fucking clips of cops putting on chokeholds and stuff like that, and you're like, you look like a fucking scared white belt who doesn't know how to hear when someone taps. It's like so crazy.
Yeah, that's what they look like. Out of control, freaked out. I mean, like, when that guy was, I think maybe you posted it, or I can't remember, I fucking posted it, of the cop on the woman's back.
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Put him in a rear naked choke with no hooks. It's like, people need to learn to build a base and toss that guy over the top, because that shit is...
Oh, yeah. That just... guy... Yeah, that's exactly... That guy, he's like so... I mean, we're going to like criticize the choking technique of the fucking evil cop. But it is true that it doesn't matter
what they're fucking doing.
Yeah, it doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, which means that they're squeezing. There's not... Like, literally, like, the whole like chokehold or illegal thing is like... Literally the safest thing you can do if you know what you're doing is a rear naked choke, as like a carotid, like blood choke. If you know what you're doing and you just gently put someone out and then like relax, and you have, that's like the nicest way to put someone down. They have a little nap. There's no broken bones. There's no concussion. You just gently lower them to the ground. It's like the best way to deal with your drunk uncle at a fucking barbecue. But like, these cops don't know what the fuck they're doing. Their bodies are so full of fear, and you can see it. It's like so embarrassing, this idea that, like, I was reading somebody, I forgot who posted it. Someone posted a thing about, like, you probably know about this kind of stuff, who's like, has worked in like closed facility, like mental health places, and was like, all of our fucking guards don't have weapons. People swing on us. They scream at us. We de-escalate. That's what we deal with. That's like, and the fact that cops are just given a fucking gun is so crazy.
I worked in community mental health and in inpatient psychiatric units at the VA. People, so you don't get to an inpatient psychiatric unit at the VA unless you are a military veteran, okay, with training.
Which, by the way, this is the cop show I would like to see. Get rid of cop shows and make them about fucking like social workers at the VA. Damn, that would be a good show.
We had people come in with acute psychosis, had not just inpatient. They're so snowed with medication that, you know, talking about outpatient. We had people come in with acute psychosis. We had lots of people who had just gotten released from jail or from prison. We had a guy come in who'd been in prison for 10 years for a range of violent offenses, come in with like weights in his hands, you know, and I never ever put my hands on anybody, because we learned how to, and we never called security to have them put their hands on people. Okay. And by the way, I love our security guards at that clinic, but I'm not optimistic that they would have been able to physically control somebody. Okay.
Right.
Never had to do that. Never. We learned how to talk to them. Why the fuck are armed agents of the state putting their hands on people for doing things like selling loose cigarettes?
It's insane.
Driving without a license. Those are not violent crimes. No one should be putting their hands on people for that, especially when they're so angry and out of control that they can't regulate themselves when they put their hands on people. It's just nuts. It doesn't make any sense at all. And nobody can make a good faith argument for why we should allow that to keep happening. It's red herring nonsense, bullshit. I've not heard a single coherent argument about why we allow people to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone, by the way, Skella said in the chat, like, the ability to take and carry out unjust orders makes you a bad person. Aunt said she would watch the cop show, the social worker show. I absolutely, someone said that about, like, and I hope Brooklyn Nine-Nine does it, because the whole Brooklyn Nine-Nine cast, like, you know, put this, like, this, by the way, getting back to the Seeing the Matrix shit, which is maybe what I'll focus on for today a little bit, I don't know, but, like, is, like, decades growing up on cop shows where, like, cops are just these lovable goofballs doing their best, who, like, you know, are like the thin fucking blue line, who are like the only thing standing between us and just a crazy fucking society. Dude, there's people online.
Violent anti-heroes. I never want to see another cop like that again. I don't want to see that movie. I don't want, it's dangerous propaganda. I don't want to fucking see it.
I agree with you. I was thinking, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was like, that the whole cast should just like next season, because it's an absurdist show anyway, like they should just all be like post office workers or something like that. Like, just change it. Just be like, we don't get, that's what we are now, you know? Like, it makes no fucking, it's so weird that like we just, I don't know, sometimes I'm like, is there a woke cop show? Is there a show that like is aware of itself? And it's like a, I don't know, Karate City that we wrote was like kind of like, the idea of it was to be like a fantasy of like this silly realm where like, it's why I saw 80s and shit, was like, what if those stupid 80s shows were like woke? Like, what if they were aware of themselves? What if it was like, you know what I mean? Like, this absolute fantasy of like Karate.
The Wire is pretty realistic, you know?
What
is? The Wire is,
yes, very much. I do like The Wire. Anyway, but the best season of The Wire is the fourth season, where it's like about the education system.
Yeah, by far. I mean, but here's the thing. Like, when people, you know, I think we do need law enforcement to do things like prosecute white collar criminals, collect evidence on figures like fucking Jeffrey Epstein, who's running a pedophile pyramid scheme.
But the reason
that's what we need law enforcement to do. Law enforcement needs to be going after people with money and power.
Yeah.
That's the people who need to be policed.
Unfortunately,
poorly trained armed agents of the state to go around harassing like mildly deviant behaviors, mildly deviant behaviors. Right. You don't fucking need people to do that. Go after people with money and power, scrutinize them, police their every move. Not some guy who's trying to work a 9-to-5 fucking job and who's like jaywalking, smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Who does that help?
Well, who it helps, though, is, like, that's what you realize, is, like, they're the security forces for the people with money. What's that again?
It helps the carceral state, is who it helps.
Yes.
So it helps the pipeline of the carceral state.
Exactly.
Feed people with unaccountable dollars.
Dude, my friend, or actually I think Ice Cube posted, that my friend reposted in our Signal thing, was, like, this list of companies that use prison labor, you know? And it's, like... Ugh, I won't even look. I won't go find it right now. It's every fucking company, you know? Obviously, the really evil ones like Raytheon and shit, but it's also like, you know, fucking McDonald's and Starbucks and, you know, Walmart. It's like everybody uses fucking Eddie Bauer. I don't know. It's just this list, and it's not a near exhaustive list. And it's like, okay, Boots Riley, who made that movie, Sorry to Bother You, which is a fucking great movie.
He's an amazing artist.
Yes. Sure. He did this thread that I was like, this is the most concise shit I've read to explain how things work. Like, that's the most like see the Matrix thing. I've sent it to like my mom and some people, but it's really true that it's like, okay, like the system is set up to ensure there is crime, like under capitalism and how we have it. If unemployment drops below a certain number, like meaning we're getting close to 100% employment, the stock market goes down. Because without a certain amount of unemployment, you can't, like, if there's 100% employment, the workers can go, we want $75 an hour because that's what's fair. And no one can fucking tell you no at the top because it's workers, we're 100% employed. So 100% of us will just stop. You have to, you know?
It means that they can go get another job. That's it. There's so much demand. All of the demand is enough by workers.
Right.
So if you don't like how you're being treated and there's 100% employment, there's no slack in the system and you can go find another job.
So without the threat of unemployment, like there's workers' rights. What? Say it again?
A shitty safety net that you can't survive on while you get retrained or whatever.
So basically you have the system that's like ensures we keep a certain pool of unemployed so that there's the threat of you don't have a job anymore, which means you don't have health care, you don't have a house, you're fucked, and your family's going to be hungry, and that's a wrap. So you have this insured thing for the people at top to keep wages under control. That means that you have created a system that ensures there are people who will not have legal income, which means that they have to do crime to survive. They have to do illegal business to survive. So if you have a legal business, that means those people in power are going to create a force to try to stop this illegal business. Also, the people who do that illegal business, especially if it doesn't hurt anybody, fucking like selling marijuana, they can't bring a dispute to court. They can't say like, hey, this guy cheated me and gave me like half of what he said for the money. So please get him in trouble with your gang, your fucking people with guns who will go and stop them and tell them what to do. So they have to enforce themselves. So then there's like gang crime. But that shit is bullshit. That's like the same as the cops, but just like without any support from the state. And so you have this and that ensures this, which means you ensure that there will be people to arrest. You will ensure that you have people to go to prison, which then gets into a bigger thing of like, hey, this country was built on slaves, right? This country was built on free labor. That's how it got so like what it is. And guess what they did? They made like there's this thing they said, you know, like what's the best way to keep slaves is like start paying them, but just enough, you know, like script, like just enough that they can't survive. They have to rely on you for healthcare. They have to rely on you for all this shit. And then pick things like the drug war, nonviolent drug offenses, like just people getting like 20 years for possession of a little bit of marijuana or something like that, who are still fucking in jail. And then you can like enforce that,
you know,
you enforce it on whoever you want. In this case, surprise, surprise, mostly black people, and then you let like white kids go, and then you put them in the fucking system, and now you've got your slaves again. You've got a fucking free labor like base for corporations to keep running the same way they've done for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's crazy when you see this. I was like, if you objectively describe the things that the United States does somewhere else in the world, like those things that are like if we were a third world country, we would be invading us right now. We would be like, what the fuck are they keep? Do you know how many of their people they keep imprisoned and they're mostly black people? And this, like, you know what I mean?
I mean, they have the highest per capita incarceration rate in the world. We have incarcerated more black men than were enslaved during slavery. So, I mean, these are just facts. Imagine we're preaching to the choir here because
I know.
Agree with that.
But
listen to all that. But I mean, it's just
worth saying.
Wait.
So I want.
I find it really, really disturbing. And
well, it's very disturbing. I just gotta say this because here's the thing I've encountered in the past, and I think is important. Like, okay, because this I'll bring it to something personal. Okay, it's like fucking finally did it. Finally got a friend, you know, to block me on Twitter yesterday. I don't think I've ever been blocked, but I mean, probably have without knowing. But like the first person who I know as a face-to-face person who I've had good times with, who's like a friend, you know, it's been a long time since we've chatted or whatever. And I started realizing like he was reactionary and having weird interactions with him a while ago, but mostly it was more like stupid social stuff. Like people who get inordinately mad about like Instagram models and stuff like that, you know, sort of like vaguely men's rights kind of things, you know what I mean? Like just dumb reactionary shit where you're like, okay, like, you know, like stuff about like probably related to like trans things and stuff and wanting to be like stupid about like gender, you know, JK Rowling type shit, you know. So that's what kicked it off. Was I did a dumb tweet about like just how stupid the JK, like how mind blowing it is that JK Rowling, especially in the midst of all this, but that
hill
you
to die on. I know.
That's exactly what I think is so fucking mind blowing is the hill to die on. Like at the very least, if you're gonna be a transphobe, is like if you're a fucking billionaire transphobe, like why can't you just let it go? Why can't you just like stop and just go live in your fucking Hogwarts castle and leave it alone? It speaks to such.
So weird to me. I can't understand the mentality. Just leave people alone.
Just leave them alone.
Leave people alone.
Like if you can't,
why do you fucking care?
It's so to me,
weird.
Yeah, it speaks to like the brainworms quality of it. Like the true like darkness inside somebody that like they just fucking can't let this go up in their weird tower. And so
I think it's deep dark obsession and fascination, like Lady G, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. Why is Lindsey Graham such a homophobe? We're finding out.
Yeah, I think I'm like always like hesitant about like that kind of shit because I'm just like there's this inherent weird, like I'm like there's a lot of straight homophobes and you don't have to be self-hating gay to be, you know what I mean, like all that stuff.
The fascination it's not that they're secretly gay, it's that there's this fascination and obsession that belies an inner uncertainty and discomfort. That's what it is. It's not black and white, like
Certainly an inner uncertainty and 100%. Yes. And frankly, I think like with JK Rowling, like, you know, she's on record being like, I named myself JK because I didn't think a woman would like clearly she's got some obsession with this notion of this binary that's hurt her as well. Most people who are like patriarchal fucking weirdos are like, this hurts me too. That's what I think a lot of it comes from, to be honest, is on some base level, you're like, this hurt me as well. You think it doesn't hurt you? It hurts me too, but I can't deal with that. And I'm stuck with how bad it hurts me. And I had to process it and just say like, you know what? I actually think it's good. I have to accept it and live with this reality, because otherwise I'm going to go fucking crazy, because it shouldn't be this way. And I can't deal with injustice. So I'm going to stick my fucking head in the sand and say it's good. Stop trying to break my system. It's the only way I know how to deal with reality. Like, I really think that's like what a lot of it is. But so, like, the mental health thing is, like, about, like, I'm going to stick my fucking head in the sand. This stuff stresses people out, what we're doing. I recognize that, and sometimes I have to, like, slow down for people and stop. For me, it's such a relief because, like, underneath I'm like, something feels wrong all the time. I know there's something wrong all the time. I can't explain it. And when I finally have words to explain the system, you have, like, some, like, leftist literate, you have something, you're like, yes! You're like, there's the fucking thing! When you have, like, an answer, when you have, like, a reason... I think it's the same feelings I have about like violence, where I'm like, violence is scary. I don't like it. I don't like the fear in my body. I don't like the fear taking over me. I don't like the fact that someone can hurt someone else. I don't like the fact that every dream or memory or poem that you ever had can just be turned off by a fucking idiot who like knows what they're doing. I don't like that. And so to like make myself more comfortable, I learn about it and I feel a little fascinated with it and a little upset because I'm just like, it gives me something material. It gives me something scientific to get a handle on, and then I don't feel so in the dark about it. So the same thing about this, and I think it's crucial, like, for the process of like, actually, we've talked about this before, Nick. I've been fucking like saying the thing, like, it's become a new mantra of like how I live my life, especially these last few weeks, about like establishing your values for yourself. That obviously on the micro of like your mental health, of like what kind of person you want to be. I don't want to be selfish, which comes to this, right? I've gotten better at recognizing when I'm screaming and I don't know I'm not at Allie. I'm like just screaming at somebody with anxiety about like their fucking cops, you know, and being able to like slow down. Like, right, the kind of person I want to be. Considerate of the people around me, getting better. But also like in these times, like the kind of person you want to be in times of injustice, and when you can see it. And I've gotten these conversations too, which I think is also liberal ass bullshit about like atomizing us, where it's like, I've, you know, people are like, I'm a white man, you know, why am I so fucking mad at the cops? Why am I scared of the cops? And it's like, dude, I am, I don't think you understand that I'm not the kind of white man that cops will like, especially I'm probably in some system now, probably as soon as they click in my like fucking thing, they'll be like, oh, this man posted about Antifa and fuck cops on Twitter, and you should definitely give him a ticket and maybe tase him.
I'm getting followed by like some weird people now. Like,
Oh yeah. It's starting to happen, which we're going to wrap around to like my friend or whatever a second who blocked me. But like, you know, that there is no, okay, so the Nazi thing, having Nazis in my family, and then growing up in a town that was very Jewish. All my friends are Jewish. In seventh grade, like fucking, you went
bar mitzvah season, man.
Bar mitzvah season, baby. 1 to 3 bar bat mitzvahs every fucking weekend. You just like, things were ground into us. And two things that were ground into us from like third, fourth grade, I think was the first time we had like a real Holocaust unit. And I remember like leaving the room because of this terrible draw. They were describing, you know, they're like the things, and there were like little cartoons that people like drew to of like this Nazi stepping on a baby. And I remember like this weird, and I just like, it was on a projector, you know, we're watching this video, and I left the room. I was like, I still remember it. It like makes me nauseous. I don't know. It's weird. Like, fourth grade, like they just start educating you about this, because there were fucking kids who were my family who like their fucking grandparents didn't make it out, or other extended, you know, family, and they grind it into you. They're like, it can happen here, never forget. That's like a thing. And I felt like so crazy because I'm like, yeah, fucking right. And like all these, and you're adult, you're like, yeah, fucking right. And then you start seeing some of this shit and you see the rhetoric and you're like, whoa. I'm sorry, that's in my brain now. And it's like this values thing about, well, what kind of person you want to be. And so the idea that like the other part of that is like, and then they came for me, that was like a huge thing. It's like they come for the people who are like vulnerable until it's your fucking turn, you know. And then you're like, there's no one left to stop them because you didn't do anything earlier, you didn't align. And so like this idea, and then beyond all that, beyond the self-serving interest of it, I just genuinely, I don't understand, is like, how can you feel good when people around you are the victims of injustice? Like, I just don't know how, Because I genuinely just don't. It just feels fucking bad to know that, like, there's a system like that out there. And especially if you're benefiting from it. And the idea that you wouldn't be angry because...
We are all benefiting from it. We are all...
Yes. We're all... Yes. All. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think... Sorry. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt your flow.
No, sorry. I know I'm, like, going off today, but I'm just, like... No. I'm just, like, this idea that you, like... That, like, it's not your pain to have, like, that, or you're trying to, only a fucking privileged white-ass person on social media who, like, is looking for internet social points or some shit would think virtue signaling is, like, a thing, would be like, hey, don't take that, that's not your pain to feel, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't fucking care whose pain it is, it's horrible, it's an atrocity going on, this isn't so I can get internet points, it's so... We express and say, fuck this. Like, I don't want to live in a world with fucking house elves, you know, with fucking Dobby, fucking J.K. Rowling. Like, I just don't want to live in that fucking world. How can anybody be okay with that? It's really disturbing. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off earlier.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I've had like a couple of conversations, thankfully not now, but before, because you know, similar to you, I went to like a very, very progressive liberal school. And, you know, I just have been like in very liberal institutions my whole life. So you know, talking about white privilege was not like some revelation. You know, I'm in social work, you know, so we talked about that like when I was a little kid growing up. So I've talked to people, white friends who are like really upset about that idea. Usually it's the white friends who've struggled themselves, you know, who like grew up poor, had to work really hard. Like I reject that idea of white privilege because I had to work so hard. Nobody gave me anything. And I'm right. Like, yeah, I totally get that. It's not about like things were easy for you. It just means imagine if on top of all of the shit right. you had to go through, all the struggle and work you had to go through, how hard that was for you. Imagine if on top of that, you also had to navigate through systemic racism and daily microaggressions from racist people and yeah. sometimes macroaggressions where you were victimized and the victim of violence or you narrowly escaped that. Imagine if on top of all your struggle you also had to deal with all of the pervasive ways that racism has infiltrated our daily lives and consciousness. Imagine that.
Yeah,
that's what white privilege
is. Yeah,
and then people are like, oh.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, and I feel the same. It's so uncomfortable for them that they still can't accept it. You know,
I feel the same way about sexism. Like a same thing. I'm like just trying to comprehend, doing everything I've done in my life, but then adding being a woman on top of it, and how like men treat, how I would have treated me, you know, stuff like that, and just being like, fuck, like that shit is real. And the idea, I think it's really a lie. It's like a weird liberal lie that just ensures status quo remains, that when you witness that injustice or start to comprehend that that injustice exists, that you go like, I'm just going to back the fuck up and not be part of it. Like,
yeah, sure. Because it's uncomfortable.
Don't steal the pulpit. Don't make it about you or your feelings or how good you are. Just get in the fight. Just like, don't shut the fuck up. Don't act like, you know what? I'm going to let them deal. They need everyone. Like, everyone needs to be part of this. You need to feel the pain of other human beings and believe in it. And don't stop at your borders. I get in an argument with my friend, and I'm like, in the past, like, and not even an argument. Like, I agree with him, but, like, he's, like, basically about, like, how Bernie's not left enough. And I fucking agree, you know, and, like, that social democracy stops at its borders. Like, this is a thing that eventually should be across the world. You should see people in other countries that we bomb to take their shit the same fucking way. Like, humans are humans, and that sort of like injustice is so atrocious. And like, anyway, so I have a friend, this, and like they got, you know, they're like, you know, I did some stupid J.K. Rowling tweet, and then they were like, not stupid, I think it was a good one, whatever, and was like,
I thought it was a totally appropriate
thanks
Jared,
just trying to tune in, you know, like, again. And they get on me about like your takes have been shit lately and stuff like that, and you're just screaming into a void. And I'm like, it's demonstrably untrue that this screaming into a void of Twitter is that. Like, it's demonstrable that people are organizing here, radicalizing each other, getting in touch, sharing these videos that they won't put on mainstream fucking news, and that like we're all learning and showing up in the fucking streets. So it's obvious that this virtue signaling isn't just for fucking internet points, at least not anymore. It's so we know where to go and what to do, and that we're not alone in seeing this, and that we are vastly outnumber the fascists who want to keep this shit in place. And like, on top of that, the idea of virtue signaling being thrown as a bad word, it's like, literally, I am signaling the virtues I believe in. And other people go, I agree with that. I'm signaling that too. And now we know that we're all in it together. I'm not talking, and frankly, also the idea of like, this is controversial, and I know I would prefer if people had a root change, obviously, and really believed it. But even the performative virtue signaling, on some level to me, is a win, because that means the wind of the status quo is blowing towards the side of justice. Right. And if people who are the wishy-washy, like, bitch asses in the middle who, like, don't want to pick a side, think the side that's the status quo they should be on is that one, good. Right?
Yeah. I agree. Especially when it's individuals. I think when it's, like, corporations and powerful actors, we need to hold them accountable beyond that, you know?
My favorite one I saw was Gushers. It was, like, Gushers was, like, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And I was like, you know what? I actually believe Gushers.
I believe Ben and Jerry's, you know?
I do believe Ben and Jerry's because they have a history. That's like...
support.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off because I'm fucking fired up today.
No, I feel the same way. I mean, that's a statement of support. But like, I saw some, you know, like send-up caricature of like every white celebrity's statements, and they're just such big platitudes that don't address anything. Like, that type of shit, if you have a giant platform, I think you should be held to a higher standard. But just, like, you know,
well, especially
normal fucking people. Normal fucking people who are kind of getting pushed along with the flow of things. Like, that's fine. You know, that's where they are. That's fine. Not everybody can be, you know, the vanguard. And that's fine.
Especially, like, if you are a company that actively benefits or has benefited from this and isn't going to address that, you know? I'm going to share some chat convo that's kind of interesting. Rogue and Ronan are talking. I feel like fourth grade is too late to start teaching about that. This is back a little bit, I think, to the Holocaust and stuff. Social injustices should be taught about as soon as possible. That's interesting because I feel like I kind of agree, but I think there's maybe a way to teach just equality and then be like, later be like, here's the violent, horrible things that happened. But like, you just start with just justice and equality. Set a worldview of justice and equality. I went to a private, someone said, Ronan said, I hate that my education basically taught me a lie that we live in a post-racial, post-sexist, post-Nazi society. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I feel too. I was like, went to this liberal ass, you know, and it's like, that was the lie that we're taught. That like, you know what? History's over. We did it, baby. Like, we fucking figured it out.
That was not my experience. Like, all the institutions that I went to, that was not my experience. I mean,
right.
We'll say, you know, there's a lot of problems with Columbia, but like reading Fanon when you're 19.
Dude, you know, I'm about to start reading some Fanon because my buddy's reading Wretched of the Earth. I've never read Wretched of the Earth. I think I've read, you know, I'm like not that well read in general. I think I just absorb like sponge information very well from like secondary sources. And I have read Capital, or at least listened to a book on tape a few times. But
I don't think you need to.
Communist Manifesto. But anyway, I think literature is important. I'd like to be more versed.
I mean, the Marx Engels reader, I think, is a good, you know, collection of. Guy was so prolific that only Marx scholars read all of Marx cover to cover, and it's nuts.
Maybe we'll talk more about this off air. But I'm like in the conversation about like what's important in the world and what are we doing and what do we feel fired up about, like. I don't know. This leftist shit. I mean, like, I think I'm gonna join the SRA officially. Like, I just think it's important. When you read their mission statement, you're like, this is a thing I agree with, because it's about like mutual aid. It's not really just, you know, and it's about being an anti-reactionary presence, whatever. But like, also trying to get people like to myself more educated, more like black literature, black revolutionary literature. I should read like. It's just, I don't know. It might be like a little, my friends and I are kind of starting a little like mini book club. We started talking about like my friends reading Wretched of the Earth. I was like, hey, maybe we should all do like, let's just do this a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Fanon is great. Like but you read that, you know, you read Fanon and some fucking the Marx Engels reader when you're 19 and like puts you on a path. You
know? Yeah, well, I wish I'd done that. I just didn't. I was like, sometimes I think it's interesting to think about, like, what's my personal history of racism or, like, where, or social awakening or something like that. And I think I always, there was something, I don't know, I went to, like, a Presbyterian church, and definitely, like, it's weird to realize things that leaked in from there that were actually positive. Like, you know, like, because I would just go to, like, a Thursday after school program. It was like a place to stash the kids for a little bit. You know what I mean? And like, we'd sing some songs and then you'd do some hanging, playing dodgeball. And like, sometimes there'd be Bible stories. But like, for me, the Bible stories, like loaves and fishes and overturning the money changer tables and shit like that. Like, that fucking leaked into my brain. Also, I realized I was 12 or 13. Like, my whole generation of like 30 something men was like, what movies came out then when you were like your most formative? It's like Fight Club and The Matrix. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, okay. And then, you know, about like who's your true self and having an alternate identity and like that there's this system in play. I mean, it's hilarious. What else? Oh yeah. And then I was like, martial arts, frankly. Like, I grew up in these like very white suburbs that were like well to do and things like that. And you know, I started going down to the city when I was like 15 or 16 to do martial arts. And I was doing like Kung Fu mostly. And at Kung Fu, there was like black guys and Mexican guys and El Salvadorian guys, Filipino guys, and white kids like me. And it was like, you all just fought each other and hung out and like ate pizza and shit. And like, you know, Thursdays, my Thursday routine was like, we do jiu-jitsu in the afternoon because the advanced students, some of them wanted to do MMA. So like, when I was like young, I was like, I would go down and do this jiu-jitsu private MMA class. We'd go across the street and eat pizza, wait till we could train in the evening, and then to go do Kung Fu together. And I'm like, frankly, like, just having friends from different backgrounds is like, I don't know if there's a way to stop racism besides that. Like, or to like, you know?
That is the evidence-based to halt racist practices, for people to be not just like, oh, I say hi to this guy at work, but like, been to their house.
Yeah,
they've been to your house. You know, you've had like a sleepover. That's not like oh, I you know, I say good morning. You know? That ain't it.
Yeah.
I think without that, how could you, I mean, it makes sense, right? Without that, how could you fight back against the incessant racist cultural messaging that you're getting? I mean, right. I don't blame, you know, I get it. It doesn't make you a bad person.
That's what I said.
Are so insidious to begin with. And there's you know, if you just spend 2 minutes Googling, I'll find it actually, and we can put it in the drive. But there's an implicit bias test that you can take. That it's a study run by Harvard. Just go online. You can take it, see your own implicit biases. And that shit, you know, it's real, man. It's real.
When I was like realized, I was like, you know, prior to that, the like there were, you know, there were some like, you know, kids of color and stuff in my high school and stuff like that. But like, there was a pretty segregated community. Like I said, a lot of Jewish kids. But like, other than that, it was like the most exposure you'd have to people of color is like fucking cops. You're like watching cops, you know? And it's like, how can that fucking shit not leak in and affect, even if you're the most, like, I see people as, and I would say also, I think that, like, I don't see color thing was probably closer to, like, what I was raised to think. Again, what Roman said, the, like, post-racial society. Yeah. Well, and I think I think even well-meaning people, you're taught kind of like, we were taught, like, that's good. Like, that's kind of like, so you're trying to be a good person, but it's this weird way to just not deal with internal conflict, which I also will say, like, oh, there's so much going on. I'm sorry. I scrolled up and I'm sorry. I'm not going to get to everybody's messages. I'm so sorry. But like I just distracted myself with that. Ronan said The Matrix was made by two trans women. So basically it's about breaking away from the cistern. 100%. The cistern is so good. Which, P.S., that's another joke I didn't realize is like the red pill is like apparently hormone replacement therapy are like these little red pills, the most common like estrogen pill or something. And so it's like all these fucking, you know, weird fascists who have been like, we're taking the red pill, we hate women now or whatever, is like, okay, I guess you don't realize what that movie was about. Someone said, while most of us were in school, having mixed race children was still illegal in Alabama. What? Yeah, it was illegal until 2000. Oh, I have to look that up. That's fucking crazy. I also feel like a piece of shit, someone said, because I'm a white person whining about how hard it is to talk about something when BIPOC people have been living this for hundreds and hundreds of years. Yeah, dude. I mean, well, again, this is what we're getting into. It's like empathy and pain at the injustice is good. Like, feel that. Just don't make it about that and stop that. Like, that to me is the mental health. That's what I was talking about, like a performative mental health thing. It's like the point of, to me, this is how I think about it now. Or maybe, I don't know. This is how I think about it. The point is not to stop at feeling better. The point is not to just ameliorate the symptoms of my bad feelings or my craziness or whatever. The point is to ameliorate them enough to make myself strong enough to go forth and do the things in the world that I wish to do, to represent myself as the kind of person I wish to be and try to like do good works in the world, which again, maybe is sort of that Protestant shit that fucking sunk in, but that like good work is its own reward. And that
yeah, so there's a great, so Viktor Frankl wrote that meaning in life is not pursued, it ensues. Mm. So meaning is not pursued, it ensues. Don't chase after things to make yourself feel like there's meaning in your life. You fucking do things that are right. And as a result of doing that, experience of having meaning ensues. That's a really important distinction.
Yes. That's a beautiful, I don't know. I guess like we have a lot of, I don't know. I've always had this thing of like, who are you? Who's your true self? Is it who you are inside? Or who is it like, or is it the works you do in the world? Is it like the things that you do? And more it seems very evident. And obviously it's both, but like, and drawing those into alignment is probably like our life's work, is to like make it one thing. But there's no way.
That's St. Paul's like of core struggle, you know, is it works or faith?
Yeah.
And fucking works.
It fucking works. Anyway, so I don't know, getting around to all this, I guess like the like sort of theme thing, because I'll settle down and we'll leave. It's after 11. But like, I was just thinking, you know, it made me really upset seeing like having this, even this internet interaction with a reactionary acquaintance, you know, like it made me really fucking upset. I was like, how is it possible a real flesh and being human being that I've met like could feel this way? Could be so selfish, could be so reactionary, to get so suckered into this kind of thing. They said that, they ended up saying that my the things I posted were violent and hateful, and which fucking rocks. And it made me feel fucking bad. And it's because I and a lot of other, I think, nice people. Well, no, this is what I'm saying. What? Of course it is. Of course
it's 1984 doublespeak, you know? Like,
yeah, no, for sure. I guess I'm just pointing out that like I know all that intellectually, but conflict still feels bad. Like we avoid the bad feeling of conflict. And I think this is a strong belief I have again about like the exploration of like consensual violence and experiencing the fear your body experiences in conflict physically is also something to carry through like mentally and emotionally. Is to say like confronting people is uncomfortable. Confronting yourself is uncomfortable. Being engaged in conflict is uncomfortable. And especially in like friendly liberal society, there's a feeling that like just having bad feelings is something you're never going to get over. You're never going to be able to talk about it. You're going to hurt each other irreparably. We can't have any negative anything. Like nothing heated, you know? Good friends, good interactions should be allowed to sustain heated interaction, heated debate, and still know there's an underlying like faith, commitment, and love to each other. And that you can grow out of these things. That being said, we have to be unafraid of that conflict, the kind that ends in a healing thing, and also the conflict that maybe ends in a drawing of a line of saying like, okay, dude, this fucking week has been pretty dope for revealing who among your friends are fucking fascists, are just like, think a certain way. I think if you've been seeing the police brutality and you've been seeing all this shit, if you see that old man who like there's the counter story to the old man getting knocked down by the cops and, you know, basically almost dying. I mean, he's like a 75-year-old man and he fucking cracks his goddamn head. It's terrifying. It's like the counter story that's being put out in the conservative press is that He's a fucking Antifa agitator, and if that's fucking true, like, which P.S. the thing they say he's trying to do is using his cell phone to pick up the radio frequencies so they can listen to, so Antifa can listen. And I'm like, dude, if what you're saying is true, he's a hero. And what you're saying is true and justifiable is that somebody wanting to be able to listen to what police are saying deserves being almost killed. And that's okay.
I had exactly this interaction where someone was like, the known activist. And it's like, so is George Washington, you fucking idiot. So what? What?
Crazy. Anyway, sorry, we can do this forever. This is going to become, the branding is going to change. I don't know. It's going to be the socialist rage hour. I don't know.
One thing about kind of to loosely tie this to mental health is I would say, don't fragilize yourself and don't fragilize others. Moving through difficult waters is okay. Feeling uncomfortable, you know, having a couple of sleepless nights as you grapple with this, feeling depressed, anxious while you grapple with these issues, that's okay. That's mm-hmm. part of the normal repertoire of human experience and behavior. And that's okay, you know? Like, we're at a kind of, I think, we're at a pretty unique point in our nation's history. I think it's not hyperbole to say that. These things kind of come up once every 20, 30 years, and I think we're in one now.
Yeah.
It's okay if that makes you feel stabilized. You know?
Yeah.
Do the things that you need to do to be a contributing member of society and take care of yourself, meaning think about your values, practice the skills that you need to regulate your emotions, but you know, the expectation that you're going to kind of move through all these things and feel fine and okay, I don't think that's a reasonable expectation, and that's okay, you know?
Exactly. I totally agree. That is okay. Don't fragilize yourself is true. If you're feeling bad feelings, don't just think that the point is to avoid bad feelings. When you take fucking medication, it's not to just not feel depressed. It's to put yourself in a place that you're not completely debilitated from dealing with your feelings. You're just trying to become, you're giving yourself the little extra help that your chemicals need to face your problems, not to just fucking disappear from them. And if you're on amounts of medication that straight up just numb it all out and you can't, then that's too much. I'm not a doctor, but that's what I think. And that should be, I think, our approach to life is like, we're just trying to meet ourselves where we're at so that you can be the person you want to be in the world. Not just avoid fucking discomfort your whole goddamn life. I don't know. All right. This has been fun. Thanks, Dr. Nick. I'll post this one with last week's as well. I'm just going to do it today. I'm on a roll. We'll just go into it. At noon, we're going to do yoga with Bray on Instagram Live, I believe. Although maybe we'll do that on Zoom today just so we can see people and we can see Bray. I'll probably do it on Zoom. I'll announce it. I'll put the link. It's the same link. We're going to keep the same one. So we'll do that. If anybody's around and wants to do quarantine calisthenics, Bray is going to join us and teach us some yoga. Dude, thanks a lot. Thanks for going into it with me. I'll talk to you more this week. Maybe we will shift around like the branding and what we're doing here because I don't know, man. The notion that we're just here to like settle our own brains is not enough for me. I don't know. Not enough. All right. I love you all. Thanks for being here. Self-care. Hydrate. Be well. Thanks, Dr. Nick. See ya.
Thank you, guys.